Chofkim on Kislev, Monday 19th of December, Mr. Whitewash, the Halachas of Malabin and Shabbos by Rabbi Emanuel Danan.
Good morning, Rabbi Zay. Well, seeing that it's Chanukah tomorrow night, I don't know how these sheets got here, I really don't. There were sheets here, handouts, before I even arrived, nothing to do with me, so that's already my miracle for the day. unless my father-in-law, Mr. Sampson, brought them in on Friday, it's beyond me how they got here.
These he didn't know about on Friday. I gave him a sheet to show that he was speaking to
me. Right, what I'd like to speak about is some halachas pertaining to melabin, to the melacha of laundering on Shabbos. Now, the subject of melabin, the basic siman dealing with this subject is siman shin beis. I have found many a time there are ways that you can remember certain things, either certain dapim of Gemara, where you can find a certain sugyas. For instance, Rabbi Yisai, where is the sugya of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? In Shabbos, Lamed Gimel, right? Where is the sugya of Sheva Brochas in Ksubas? Dav Zayin. Right? The sugya of Besula Nisais is Beis Amud Aleph, right? There are many ways, there are quite a number of these, that a way of remembering where certain sugya is. So Shin Beis, Melamben, laundering? How can I get out of that one? So I was thinking, what's the biggest make of washing machines? Probably Bosch, no? So Shin Beis, Bosch. Right? Okay. just a few questions. I think the way we'll do justice to this subject, it's quite an encompassing subject. There are quite a number of shailas, and one can easily be over transgress the isurei of Shabbos. And I think the way to deal with this actually is to learn it from the basics. And Bezos Hashem, I think the second part of the shir will go into some interesting questions which arise. Perhaps with fundamentals we can deal with each question which comes up. But the basic questions which I want to deal with today are four basic questions. And they are the following. First of all, how to wipe up a dirty patch. If a person's got a dirty patch on his garments, either a muddy patch or a food mark on one's beged, how can one be rid of that patch on Shabbos? Is there any way of that you can do it by derech heter to discard of this patch? Second of all, what about muddy shoes? How can one get rid of one's mud of the mud on one's shoes on Shabbos? Number three. The third question is to clean up a spillage of water on the tablecloth. How should a person wipe it up? Or alternatively, if it's not water, lemonade or orange juice, is there any difference between cleaning up a spillage of a coloured liquid and that of a spillage of water? And the fourth, what about if a garment or a tablecloth, for instance, catches fire? What can one do to ensure that the fire doesn't spread? It's no sakonas nefoshes. Is there anything that a person can do in order to stop the fire spreading and in order to prevent the garment from being burnt, from being singed? Okay, so let us go start right from the beginning of melabin, and that is the following. Melabin is most interesting and perhaps unique in that it has three stages of melabin. There are three stages of laundering, and for each one, for each stage, even by itself, one already has transgressed the Issur Min HaTorah. Right? There are three stages, Rabbi Yisai, of melabin. What are they? Let's go from the beginning. Chronology. What is the first thing you do before you start the process of laundering?
Water.
Soaking water, right? That is called Shriyosai Zeo Kibusai. Shriya is to soak a garment. Soaking your garment needn't mean to actually take the garment and to soak it in a bowl of water, even if I take a cup of water, or even if I've got a mark on my lapel, and I realize that if I don't dab some water on that mark, then it's going to remain and as a stain. So I dab the water, I dab some water on Shabbos, and I dare not be meshafshef, I dare not rub it together. Nevertheless, I have already transgressed the Isur of Melaben through the process of Shriya. That is called Shriyosai Zeu Kibusai. The Shriya of something is its kibbutz. Where's the laundering of what saying that? Where's the laundering? Where's the cleaning process in soaking a garment? Because it's the beginning of the cleansing process. The beginning of the cleansing. This is the first stage you do. That's why you're fine. The second one, 1B, shifshu, scouring, rubbing together. What we know as the main, the washing machine turning around the clothes, rubbing the clothes together in order to get the dirt to come out from the garments. That's shifshuf. That's the second process. And the third process is called schita. Schita being squeezing the garment. Now, Rabbi Sai, why are you chayv on schita? Where is the cleansing in squeezing out the water from a garment? The water after a load, after it's been for a load in the washing machine, the garment is absolutely clean. If it's not absolutely clean, it's not ready to be squeezed out the water from it. So the rinsing process at the end seems to be no cleansing process there at all. And nevertheless, when it transgresses the melacha of melaben as well, we'll see there might be a transgression of another melacha as well when one is seichet a garment. So where is the cleansing process?
Not ready to use.
It's not ready to use. That, you don't normally wear a wet garment, but why is that called cleaning? Why is that called cleaning? Why is that part of the cleaning process? So we'll mention that one, that reason. But I'll mention the first two, other two reasons. Yeah?
Mr. Jeff? It wasn't the end of the process that was kind of liquid in the bottom.
Coloured liquid in the cloth. Right, okay, let me just go through the three reasons and then go back to this point about coloured liquids. There are three suggestions given here. The first two suggestions are the following. Number one suggestion is that there's always lichluch in water. There's always an element of dirt inside the water. Even at the end of a process of laundering, there's always a certain amount of dirt remaining in the water, and therefore when you squeeze out the water, you squeeze out the dirt from the water. This mahalech, this understanding is a bit difficult to understand, because a person doesn't attribute any importance, so he's not disturbed by that actual dirt. It's very minuscule, and it's, that is not the reason why a person is squeezing out the water from the garment. It's not because of the dirt which is mixed inside the water. The second explanation is a bit more palatable, and that is a wet garment, you can tell, apart from the fact that it's wet, how is a dry garment different to a wet garment? Just by appearance. Just by appearance, apart from the wet... Sorry?
It's paler.
It's paler, yeah? Yeah, it's got a different... It's got a different colour. So the Avnein and the Igle Tau... Right, the Sochot Shavar Rebbe suggests that the libun is the change of color, the returning the garment to its original color, because when a garment is wet, is off color. That is not the natural color of the garment. That is what the Igle Tal suggests. And the third suggestion, and Laniel's deity, in my humble opinion, it's the most palatable explanation, is exactly what we have mentioned here. And that is that it's part of the process of melabin. What do I mean with that? So the Rambam, in his explanation of this, says a very interesting thing, and he says the following. Somebody who squeezes out a garment from the water, chayev mishum melaben, he is chayev because of melaben, shekein derech hakoifsin, Because Shekain Derech HaKosev. This is the process of the people who launder the garments. Kmoi, and the Rambam gives an example. Most interesting example. Kmoi Shameigis Chayev Mishum Mevashel. Just like a Megis. Can anybody tell me what a Megis is?
Stirring.
When you pour, you could move in. But it's a stirring is Chayev Mishum Mevashel. What does the Rambam want? He's giving a proof. He's going to Meleches Bishul to use an idea from Meleches Bishul and transferring it to Melechot Menavim. So l'chaim, what the Rambam means is, we know once a food is fully cooked, there is no Bishul afterwards, right? You can't imagine. That's why once a cholent is fully cooked, you can take it off the fire, you can put it back on the fire, as long as you've got the required condition, the conditions of Chazara. Right? Why? Because once ain bishvach habishul, and in fact, Rabbi is a cold solid, right? Even if it's been in the fridge, is not subject to bishul. A potato which has already been cooked, even though it's cold, it's not subject to bishul to reheat it. You're not allowed to put it directly on the fire, but that's another issue. But technically speaking, from the point of view of bishul, ain bishvach habishul. Nevertheless, comes along the Rambam and says, if you are Magus, if you take the pot and you stir it, you will transgress Bishul. Now how is that? That doesn't add up. Why should I be chayav in Magus even to a fully cooked pot where this pot is not subject to Bishul anymore? So what Bishul am I doing? Nevertheless, the Rambam says, Shamegis humitzorki abishul. Stirring is an act of, it's attributed, it's part and parcel of Meleches Bishul. Therefore, the Rambam is saying a unique, is being mechadesh to us a new point, that although technically speaking, I might not be actually doing a process of Bishul, but since this is a typical act, which is always comes together with this melacha, one is chayav. Similarly, says the Rambam, soichet abeged, when you squeeze out a garment, although there's no cleansing process in squeezing out a garment, you are chayev, because that is a natural part. You can't have a washing machine without a spin at the end. Yeah, I remember I was in Yeshiva in my days in Yerushalayim, and the washing machine was not working, or partly working, and it came out, the garments came out from the washing machine without the spin, and it was winter, and I was wondering why on earth am I clothes taking more than 4 days to dry, right? A soaking cloth, yeah? You don't leave. At the end of a laundering process, you always squeeze out a garment. That is the reason why Yechayev Mishum Schita. Now, what about Schita of Shar Mashkin? So the halacha is, it's a machlokes Rishonim, but most Rishonim hold that if you squeeze out other liquids from a garment, such as lemonade, grape juice, other juices from a garment, you do not transgress the issur of melaben. Right? The issur of melaben you do not transgress. Why? Because the garment is still dirty. The garment is still dirty. Yeah? It might not be as dirty, but you can't give it a chashivus, you can't attach an importance to this action of squeezing when the garment is still dirty. According to all the explanations, it's very well understood, but certainly according to the Rambam, which is the third explanation, that would be very understandable, that you can't say Shekein Darki HaKosim. Right? Schita is only chayev because it is it's part of the process of laundering. You can't say squeezing out juice from a garment is part of the process of laundering. Right. So we have learned that there's three stages of shriyasaso kibusoi. That's stage one. Then we have shifshuf, the actual rubbing together, and then we have schita. Now, only a garment, number two, Chazal say only garments, only materials, soft materials, wool, linen, polyester, and the likes, are subject to Shriyosoi Zeokibusoi. However, leather is not subject to Shriyosoi Zeokibusoi. That means one may wet one's dirty shoe, because stage one we do not say on leather. Therefore, if one's shoes are dirty, one is allowed to turn on the tap, the faucet, and to wash the mud off or the dirt off with water. It is not subject to the issur of Shri'ah. However, that does not mean it is exempt from the prohibition of Melabin altogether. In fact, the second stage, the shifshuf, if you take the rubber, the leather together and you start being mashafshif it together to clean it, that not only is it also, but the Mishnah Berurah says it's chayiv. Yeah, it's chayiv because leather actually does absorb, and it creates, and you can see that if a person goes out in the rain, then his shoes will become niskamit, will become shriveled to a certain extent, and there'll be a white mark. Leather does absorb, but because it absorbs minimally, therefore stage one is not also, but stage two is an isul natar. Therefore, to wash to rub the leather or to wash it, to do a scouring act to the leather, that is also an isul natar. The third stage, which is the third stage of schita, the Rambam says it's not clear in Shulchan Aruch. But the Rambam says squeezing out the water from the leather is not also minatayr, it's also midrabanan. Machayra, the reason for the Rambam is because otherwise, if the schita was also minatayr, then although technically speaking, from the point of view of Shri'a, leather, you should be allowed to wet leather, but what else could be the problem? What is the second reason why you're not allowed to wet a garment, even if this actual wetting is not an act of Shri'a? That means even if you avoid the problem of shiyosazel kibutzoi, right? For instance, if I wipe up a spillage, right? If I wipe up a spillage, which we're going to get to, if I wipe up spillage from the floor, that is called derech lichluch. That a way you're not your aim is not to clean the garment. You're trying to wipe up a spillage. That is permissible. Nevertheless, it might be also because of another problem, and that is why it's also midravon lest you come to schita. There's another issue that you have to reckon with, and that is if you wet a garment, the natural thing that you want to do is to squeeze it. So the Rambam seems to have held that if the schita of Ayr, although Ayr is subject to Melaben Minatayra, as we said, however, if the schita was also Minatayra, then Chazal would have not allowed you to wet the oil, right? And from the fact that Chazal do allow you to wet the oil, that's an indication that even if I squeeze the oil, it's not an isur min ha-Torah, it's only an isur min ha-Jabbana, and therefore Chazal did not make a gzera for an isur min ha-Jabbana. Okay, Rabbi, so let's go back now with that knowledge to our questions. A person's got a splash of cholent on his garment. Natural way, during the week, the way he would get rid of it is place his hand or take a scourer and wet it and rub it off the garment. Is he allowed to do that on Shabbos? With a scourer, so there's no problem of schita mitzad the sponge. Is he allowed to put it water? No cleaning material. Sorry? No, a scourer, do you know the plastic scourer? They're like the Shabbos scourers, which are not subject. So can he use that? A wet gun and clean off the patch of the dirty patch on his garment. No, right? There's no question about that. It's a garment, and he is wetting it, so he's got shriyos zeu kibusoi. And if he rubs it hard, it might be the equivalent of shifshuf as well. So he'll have transgressed the issur of the second issur of shifshuf as well. Okay, so he is not allowed to do shriyah. What about his shoes? If he's got dirt on his shoes, he's just walked in and he's covered in mud, his shoes, can he pour some water on them? Can he wet them? He's allowed to wet them, right? He's allowed to rinse them under the tap. Now, here, one has to be careful, and that is, as we said, the second process of shifshuf, rubbing together, that is, leather is subject to that issue. So therefore, when a person, practically speaking, to just pour water on top of dirty shoes is not going to do the job. Yeah, unless you've got a power hose, in which case I don't think the shoe will be wearable on Shabbos. So you might as well wait till what's at Shabbos. So what you would do is do a gentle scratching. Thank you. Either you take the back of a knife, or you take a scourer, and you gently, without applying too much water, just to help the water run off the mud from the shoe, that is permissible. But an action which takes a lot of force to rub hard, either to rub the leather together if it's soft leather, or to rub hard with a scourer, that would be prohibited on Shabbos. Sorry? Yeah, no problem. Now, Rabbi, what about the plastic tablecloths? That's plastic, you know, the throwaway tablecloths or on Shabbos, or the weekday cloths, you know, with the different patterns which you use and just clean over. Are they subject to milabin? No. Why not? Because I don't absorb anything. You can do whatever you like. You can use surface cleaning. You can do whatever you like. Something which doesn't absorb at all. And most of the plastic, there was, until about 5 years ago, the terralene plastic, at least the weekday one, was somewhat absorbent. That's why you will have noticed, after a time, you see marks on it. You see stains. Nowadays, it's almost, the vast majority of them are not absorbing at all. Even if they are absorbing, it's very, very, very minimal. And therefore, one can clean them in any way one wants, as long as one doesn't use a sponge or a type of a scourer which absorbs water, because then you'll have a problem of schita, not from the point of view of the cloth, of the tablecloth, but from the point of view of the sponge, right? So, but if you use the Shabbos scourer, you can even use cleaning brush, right? Yeah, you can do everything. It's not subject to milabin. Milabin is only something which actually absorbs. That's the chiddush which we're pointing out about leather. Since it does absorb, therefore it is subject to milabin. However, because it only absorbs minimally, therefore it's not subject to the first the issur of shriya. Right. What about doing shriya zeh kibbutz, soaking a clean garment? May one soak a clean garment? Why would one soak a clean garment? Right.
New garment. Some people do also.
Wash first, right. So
some
you definitely
do that, the new garment.
There's another reason, and that's question number four. That's where we come into question number four, and that is, what happens if a garment is on fire? So you can't extinguish the fire, but what you can do is, let's say you've got long tablecloth, so I can pour water along one end so that the fire doesn't spread. However, this will be dependent on the answer to this question, whether we say shriyasa zeh kibusoi on a clean garment. So it's called a grama, where I'm doing an indirect action, and the Mechaber in Shin Lamed Daled says the following. In Shin Lamed Daled Chav Daled, Yesh Oimim, so some say your argument, She'ein Yochel Iten Alav Mashkin Kedei She'ichbek She'agi Alahim. One may not wet a garment so that the fire stops spreading. V'yesh Oimim She'mutal La'aseh Iskei B'shal Mashkin Chutz Min Amayim. The second opinion holds, you're allowed to do that apart from water. Why may you not soak the tablecloth with water? Yeah, because mishum kibbutz, because shriyasa zeh kibbutz. V'yesh matirim afilu b'mayim. Yesh matirim afilu b'mayim. That means they hold it's a clean garment. That's not, you don't say shriyasa zeh kibbutz with a clean garment. The Mechaber says v'divrei svara sheinis nirin. Mechaber takes sides with the middle opinion. In other words, you can do it with other mashkin, but you can't do it with water. However, the Mishnah Berurah, interestingly enough, in his Akdama, in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos, where he speaks about how if a person doesn't know the halachas, then one can be nichshel so much because he doesn't know of their teirim. He doesn't know what he may do, therefore because he doesn't know what he's allowed to do, he ends up doing his surim. So he gets carried away by the fire and he gets bohun. The Mishnah Berurah gives this example of a garment on fire, and a person doesn't know any way out, so he just goes and extinguishes the fire directly. Had he known the halacha, says the Mishnah Berurah, then he would have known that he can soak the end of the garment with water. So it seems to be that the Mishnah Berurah takes the opinion that one is allowed to wet a clean garment in a time of necessity. Right. Cleaning up a spillage of water. Right. Cleaning up a spillage of water, either on the floor or on a tablecloth. Let's speak first about the floor because it's easier. Is there any problem, Rabbi Yisai, or Shri Yosa Zeo Kibbutzi? No, let's say a solid floor.
Doesn't absorb.
No, it doesn't absorb. No, it's not. Hard things are not subject to melabin. Melabin is only soft things. Yeah. So even a wall, even a piece of wood which absorbs water is not subject to melabin, right? So am I allowed to wipe up the spillage? Can I take a tea towel? What about Shri Yosa Zeo Kibbutzi? Sorry, of the tea towel.
If it was clean.
Right, so if we hold that, we don't say Shri Yosa Zeo Kibbutzi in a clean beged, that's very good. What about if we hold that Shri Yosa, we do lechatchila, we machmir for Shri Yosa Zeo Kibbutzi even by clean beged? So this is what we mentioned before, it's called Derech Lichloch. This is the same reason why you're allowed to dry your hands on the towel. Why are you allowed to dry your hands on the towel? You're wetting the towel. Surely you're transgressing the Issur of Shriya. The answer is, it's Derech Lichloch. It's in the way of Lichloch, and therefore you're trying to do the opposite. Proof of the pudding is, you see, after a while, even though everybody washes their hands with soap, if you can, yeah, and nevertheless you see that towel which everybody uses somehow needs laundering. What's going on? Everybody's been wetting it, and Chazal is saying Shri Yosa Zeo Kibbutzi, and everybody's hands was clean, and nevertheless you find that a garment needs laundering. The answer is, it's called Derech Lichloch. There is a residue of Lichloch, and therefore it is permissible. However, and here comes the but, you're not allowed, as we mentioned, there's a second issur of Shema Yitzchot. An issur drabanan, lest you come to be seichet. So you've got two things to reckon with. Shri Yosa Zeo Kibbutzi, and you've got another thing to reckon with, the other chelek, the issur drabanan, that you shouldn't come to be seichet. So therefore, if a person uses a shirt or a garment, yeah, which a person is mucked with, you don't go around, if your sleeve, even if you just use a section of your garment, you're mucked with, you don't want to go around walk with a wet sleeve, right? So a person may not wipe up a spillage with a type of garment which he is mucked with. However, a tea towel or a shmata, then a person's not mucked with. That's what it's made for. It's made in order to pick up spillages, right? Therefore, a person may use a towel or a tea towel or the likes to pick up to wipe up a spillage. However, and even when one's using a towel, there's a catch. If there is such a vast amount of water on the floor that using the towel would render the towel no longer usable, in other words, it's so saturated that I just cannot use the towel anymore, then there's still an issue of Shema Yisrael. That means it doesn't matter, you can say, but what am I going to do with that? I'm going to put it straight into the washing machine. Doesn't matter. Here you've rendered a garment unusable, and therefore there's still the chashash. There is still the chashash Shema Yisrael. So therefore, if a person's got an enormous spillage, he may only, well, the way would be to use a rubber to, you know, the gummy which they use, the stick, the sponge stick, to remove the excess of water. But normally it's not such a large spillage, and normally to use a towel would be okay. However, to use paper, to use kitchen paper or the likes or tissues, that is completely permissible. That is completely permissible, and because a person's once you've wet tissues, they're completely you've destroyed them. You're not going to use them again. You're not going to hang up tissues or kitchen paper which you wet in order to dry, and therefore kitchen paper and any paper which absorbs is the ideal way of cleaning up a spillage. Apart from that, there's also another advantage that we haven't managed to get onto, and that is you shouldn't colour garments. That means when you pick up a spillage of orange juice or grape juice, then you have done a colouring of the garment. Now, it's certainly not nisum min ha-Torah, Rabbi Yisai. Why? Because there, listen, you've ruined the garments. It's kilkul. But nevertheless, there's an issur lechatchila, if one can avoid it, of not colouring a garment even in a detrimental way. That, however, again, with tissues and kitchen paper or the likes, although you are colouring the tissues, but since it's in effect destroying the tissues, that is permissible. So therefore, the ideal way of cleaning up a spillage would be with tissues or kitchen paper. If that's not possible, one should use a towel or tea towel, but as long as it's not they're not used to the extent that renders the towel or the tea towel unusable. Thank you, Rabbi Yisai, for listening. A good Hanukkah.